to think that I would be chosen for such a wonderful, I mean, I could just cry at the mention of his name because of what he's done for me. Gave me two fine parents that brought me up, and the only religion they had, which at that time was Catholicism, which is strong today, but that's what my parents brought me up in, and they were good people. I just want to honor my mother and my father because I know that that's always a wonderful thing to do, so that it may go well with you in the earth. That's the rest of that verse. You need to quote that to people because how many people know honor your father and your mother? A lot of people do, but they don't know so that it may go well with you in the earth. You know, and that's so important. I mean, Jesus showed up. I'm going to just give the short testimony. Jesus showed up. Wanda and I were celebrating one of our anniversaries up in Door County. And this kid was at a park, and he was driving his bike in the bold Lowell, and that's God's made me that way. This kid shows up, and I just say, hi, and he pulls up, and he sits, and he stood there, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him. And we got into a conversation. He said, my dad was just sent up 10 years in the prison. And the Lord, and I closed my, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say to this young man? And he brought out the fourth commandment. And I said, you know, if you will honor your father no matter what the situation is, and you will proclaim him to be a good man, you will speak into his life, and God will bless you, and he will reward you. Because the rest of that verse says so that it may go well with you. So even though you can't honor him for what he's done to put in there, you can still honor him as your father. He's got an office, and each one of you do too. Those of you who have kids, you have an office. The office of being a parent. You're an office of being a father. Pray in that office. It's powerful. I know I've got a son, and I pray for him in my office as being his father. And I know that God, he honors that. Children have an office of being the office of the children. And they pray to God. Boy, he listens. I've got a whole teaching on offices that I'll wait for another time. Okay, so anyway, this kid got born again with me, and it was wonderful. I just stood there, and I said, who are you living with? He said, well, I'm living with my aunt. My mother doesn't want me. Whew. And so one thing led to the next, and he and I both started crying. And I said, do you know Jesus yet? No, I'm Catholic. I said, okay. Let's meet the Jesus that's going to get you through this. I said, you're only 15. And the tears are coming out of his eyes. I said, my tears are coming out of my eyes. As he came to the Lord. That's Jesus Christ. That's the Jesus Christ I want to introduce you to today. He is ready. He is waiting. Are you ready? Jesus Christ is fully God, our great God and Savior. In numerous passages, many passages, the Word was God. So I'm taking all of this from this wonderful book that's been given us. The Word was God and became flesh. Jesus is and was in God, and God was in Jesus. A union totally unfathomable by man, the true God and eternal life. So the point is that eternal life in Jesus. I keep emphasizing that little adjective in, because in God, in Jesus, in the Father, takes this wonderful union that we can't fathom the depth of that. And I mean, so I have a testimony of a man who gave it for an hour and a half. I won't go into it, but boy, did he show exactly what that meant. Because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all go in and out of each other all the time. It's beautiful. So the point is here, eternal life in Jesus is mentioned 54 times in the New Testament. 80 times in the New Testament he refers himself as the Son of Man. And he claimed deity. I and the Father are one, John 10:30. Even though they didn't believe in him and charged him with blasphemy, he displayed God's authority to forgive sins and the authority and power to raise the dead. He possessed God's attributes. All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Wow, that's my Savior. And he's just right there with me, waiting to lead me, waiting to guide me. It takes a humble heart, though, because he's very quiet, but he's strong. He did that by instilling the stormy waters in Mark 4:39, and then turning the water into wine, power over demons, all-knowing, knew what was in people's minds. God's qualities are openly displayed in Jesus. Jesus wants us to openly display his love to whoever we come in contact with. Last Sunday, my pastor gave a teaching, which I'm going to refer to right now, and I think each one of you really need to hear this. When Jesus and Mary were at the marriage feast of Cana, take you back to that, and Mary was watching her son, and this marriage feast is going, they ran out of wine. Now, you know the story. So the point is that when Mary was saying, do what he tells you to do. And woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour has not yet come. Listen. This is powerful. When my pastor said this, he was jumping up and down because the anointing was so strong on him. Mary went into the greatness that was inside of Jesus and pulled that greatness out for the moment. Pray for the greatness that is in your children, gentlemen. Pray for the greatness. It's there. Pray for them. Ask God to go into their lives and their hearts and your grandkids too. I got two granddaughters. I'm going to see them over July 4th. And when my little Joelle and Corey come to visit me, I'm going to put my hand on each shoulder and I'm going to pray for the greatness that is inside those grandkids to come out, to come forth. Because inside of each and every one of us are gifts, talents, and abilities. The things that make each one of us unique. God has put those things there. Jesus needs to take up residence so that we can present ourselves, a church without spot or wrinkle, using these gifts, talents, and abilities for his glory. Jesus was fully divine, and he was fully human and fully divine. He had two natures. He was constantly in touch with his Father. John 17, the whole chapter depicts his conversation with his Father, telling him all that he did before his disciples. I'm in the middle of reading this book, and the Lord spoke to me. I said, what about John 17? That's the most intimate talk there ever is in the whole Word of God, don't you think? Have you ever read John 17? I mean, it's rich. And he's talking to his Father about his relationship with his disciples and how deep it went. So rich. I don't think I've ever even had that depth of a conversation with my own personal Father, so now with the Lord. Many times, Christ, the Anointed One, he is the Messiah, the King of Jews, the Lord and Savior, Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb of God, just to mention a few. Jesus was completely without sin 24/7. Truly the perfect man. Why did he come? To seek and save that which was lost and to give his life for ransom for many. He took 39 lashes and went to the cross, bloody, broken for every sin we have committed. I don't know why people trample on that today. I could cry when I think about what they do with the blood of Jesus. But all this was paid in full by his suffering. By this suffering and death. And now we go on to the resurrection. The best part of Jesus Christ is here in the fact that this incredible miracle, never to be repeated until the day of our resurrections from the graves, for those of us who are saved and waiting for the great trumpet and shout. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to the end. It's a great promise to take place. Then we will share in his resurrection and be taken up, or caught up as it says in the word, to meet the Lord in the air. For this we declare to you, Paul says in verse 15, by a word from the Lord. Now, when Paul says by a word from the Lord, stand up and listen, because he's wow. It's powerful that the offices that these apostles were walking in, don't you think? I mean, my goodness. When they would open up their mouths and they would represent the power of the Holy Spirit, and they says, by a word from the Lord, and it's written down. Do you know the three most powerful words that you can say to Satan? It is written. He don't like that. But when you reference the word of God, he runs the opposite direction because he knows there's more power in that word than he can possibly handle. And he has no authority over this word. We have it all. God gave it to us. Why? So that we can establish it on the earth and share it with people who are dying and hungry. They don't have a clue what's in this Bible. And it just, it grieves my spirit to know that we don't do anything. A lot of us, we just go to church and walk out the same way we go in. And a lot of people that do that. Why are they there? So the important thing is to learn and to glean things from God that changes their lives. I told this to my pastor. I says, look, it doesn't do any good unless we take it out through those doors. You've got to take it out beyond the doors of the church. Nice and comfortable in here. But when you take it out from those doors and you share Christ with the dying, I don't care if it's in the prison at the rescue mission or for me, it's at St. Charles. The point is, it's got to happen. Because Jesus is in, guys, listen to me. Jesus is in the now. He's in the right now. He's an exciting, powerful, powerful, wonderful God. And I'll tell you something. When I went to Jerusalem, I knelt next to the hole where the cross went. I did that. I went to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. I don't know if you've been to Jerusalem, but I'll tell you something. If you go into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the hole is still there, and there's a big altar over it. All these ornate lamps, I knelt next to it. I bought a tallit. That's a Jewish prayer shawl. Stuck it in there. And this big voice came into my ears. Lowell, you go sit down over there. I'm not through with you yet. It was that loud. Big, powerful, booming voice in my heart. And it just shook me when I heard this. And I went over and I sat down on a bench. And I said, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. And Jesus in the now. Close my eyes, and here comes this vision of his precious blood coming down and hitting me smack in the middle of the forehead. And he let me see the splash. What would you do if that happened to you? You would cry. And I did for about 25 minutes because I couldn't budge an inch because the right now Jesus was there. And he changed my life forever. And I went home. 12 months later, I got ordained, and I just want you to know that there's nothing more beautiful than representing Jesus. Nothing more beautiful than that. The joy of the Lord is in your eyes. I see it in your eyes. I see it in your eyes. I tell you what, I mean, I don't want to embarrass anybody in here, but I want to tell you what, there are some men in here, I'll just look in their eyes, and the warmth and the love of Jesus is right there. Why do I come here? To find Jesus in you guys. He's here, he's now, and he's rich, and he's full of love and power and joy all the time. The world doesn't understand that. They think they can get it through things. Anyway, the resurrection is, to me, is the most powerful of the graves. For those of us that are saved and waiting for that great trumpet and shout, it's wonderful what's about to happen. As far as his proof of resurrection, he says in Luke 24, 36 through 45, Christ appeared 10 times in 10 different places, and in one case to more than 500 people at once. How could 500 people be hallucinating at once? Wow. So there is plenty of evidence to support the fact that he did indeed rise from the dead. And it's the resurrection is wholly responsible for shifting the Lord's day from Saturday to Sunday. Do you know that? Because of it. And that's why it went from the Sabbath on Saturday to Sunday. It's because of the resurrection. You probably know that. There are four resurrection benefits for us. One, our sins are actually forgiven through the death of Jesus Christ. Two, Christ's resurrection is the guarantee of our resurrection. Jesus said, because I live, you also will live. John 14, 19 is where that is. Because I live, you also will live. So we know that the grave is not our end. Glory to God. Our bodies will be glorified like Jesus. It's in Philippians 3:21. Your body, no matter how terrible it looks at the time of the great resurrection, we have got our own resurrection to happen. We have assurance of the contemporary power of Christ in life today. I keep emphasizing in. I want to bring everything down to the present because each and every you are always walking in the present. Don't walk in the past. It's gone. And the future is yet to happen, but Jesus is in the now, and he's got special things for waiting for you to do. We not only have the fact that he died, and he is not hanging on any tree anymore, but this contemporary power that is today, the dynamic of Christian faith. So now let's talk about the ascension. Jesus is the forerunner for us, being seated at the right hand of God, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given. He is our high priest and advocate. Who is Jesus? He's our mediator. Oh, I'm so glad he is. You can go right straight to him. Jesus said, look, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgiven instantly. I go there sometimes daily because just like you guys, I wrestle with this soul. And I'm still not 100% pure, but I'm trying to get there by watching what I do and think and say so that I can only give glory to him. Okay, so he is the high priest and advocate, our mediator, and is now active for us before the throne of God. He gives free access to God and gives us the promise, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be also where I am. That's what a promise he has given us. He has rent the curtain in two in the temple when he died, giving us that free access. Jesus Christ is Christianity from beginning to end. Because of him, we are, everybody say this after me, redeemed, redeemed. Forgiven, forgiven. Justified, justified, reconciled, sanctified, and glorified when he returns. Isn't that beautiful? That's what he has done for us. My Savior, whenever I get a chance to represent him or talk about him, you know, I cannot walk into taking his name in vain in a restaurant or something like that or whatever that I actually will stop and I say, and they say, Jesus Christ. I say, praise his holy name. And they look at me and they get startled by that. What did I say? You said his name. And that name is above all names. Be bold for Christ. Guy's not going to turn around and shoot you. Now, maybe one day in the future, it may require your life. But if you're standing up for Jesus and you lose your life for Christ, what a great way to go. There is no better way to go. I mean, we all got sainthood as it is. Why? Because each and every one of us, because of Jesus Christ, your spirits inside of you have been made sinless until the day, great day, for either you go to heaven or he comes back to get you on the earth. The thing is that your spirits, according to Ephesians 1 and verse 13, have been made pure and perfect and sinless because it's sealed by the Holy Spirit. Your spirit is sealed by... Now, your soul, on the other hand, needs to be saved day by day by day. Why? Because it wars against your spirit. Jesus, he gave us the situation because of our natures that we are constantly fighting against. When the Bible says, you know, I don't have anything within me that's any good. Well, the truth is, I got this voice, and I can proclaim his name. And I can give him all the glory that I possibly can. Most of you know a pianist. And when I go to the piano, I'd like to do that and just bring you into a chorus just so that you can praise him. I want to do that so that you can worship him. Just one chorus of How Great Thou Art. And to me, when you praise and worship God, it puts you into his presence. There is nothing more beautiful to be in the presence of the Lord. Right, Bob? Nothing more beautiful than to be in his presence and to worship him. And the important thing is that that's heaven to me. That's home to me. Is to when I go and when I'm standing. And when someone doesn't know who he is, and the Holy Spirit goes, go in that direction. Happened in the pool the other day. I'm talking a week ago. Let's talk about somewhere now, Jesus. I'm in the pool at the Y, of all places. And doing my swim, and the Lord just kind of goes, and he turns me. There's a woman sitting over there, and he let me see what was going on inside of her. In a split second. God acts many, many times in a split second. He'll show you everything just that fast. He does that with me. And he says, there's despair in that heart, woman's heart. I want you to talk to her. I want to speak to her. So one of the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from the Holy Spirit came alive, which is called gift of word of knowledge, in me at that moment. So I walked over there, swam over there, And I said, are you going through some hard times in your life? She looks down at me, and, you know, I'm in my swimming suit, and got this great big incision here, and she's looking at that, and she doesn't know what to do with me, but she, and we just started talking. And the Lord told her what he wanted her to know is that she was coming to the, there was a light at the end of her tunnel, and that he wanted to know that he was with her. And she started crying. And I started crying. And that wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit came in the now with that situation. And the lady said to me, I was praying for somebody to come and talk to me today. The Lord chose me for that moment. God is waiting to use you in powerful moments. He is waiting. It doesn't make any difference what's going on. If you will just walk in the Spirit, walk in his presence, God has got things to say. And it will be so beautiful. You know, it only takes one word from God, only one word from God to change a person's life. That's it. You don't have to say a lot to a person. The other day I was out in the parking lot, dentist office. This man's looking, he's sitting on his the end of his car. I looked at him, he wasn't looking at me, he was like this. His head was down, and I said, what, Lord, what's going on in this man's life? He said, go on over there, I want to talk to him. So I walked over to him, and I said, sir, you've got some real hard times going on in your life. My wife is dying of cancer. I don't think she's going to make it through the night. And he chose me to stand there and talk to him. And I had to empathize with the man. And just know that people are in horrible, critical situations. Bring them your Jesus. He's there, and he's full of light, and he's full of joy, and he's full of power. And the Lord's telling me now, refreshment. He wants to refresh their spirits. Sometimes I just use humor. That's all I use. Just humor. Or I'll say something nice. You know, I don't evangelize all the time. But I enjoy people and loving people right where they're at. So I'm coming to the end of my talk now, and I just wanted to go to the piano now, and I just want you guys, if you could just sing this chorus of How Great Thou Art, I just would love to praise the Lord. Would you do that with me? Just, I mean, it's so simple. Everybody knows this song. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou How great thou art. So this is what I had to say. And now there's questions that are on your tables. And I hope and I pray that this has been a blessing to you. And that I'll get to speak again one other time. So this is a wonderful book. Spend time in it. It's really got a lot of good chapters on it. Thank you.